Support for WPR comes from WIPS with Toward One Wisconsin, a conference on equity, diversity, and inclusion, May 7th and 8th in Eau Claire. Registration information and more is at t1w.org.
Our next guest is worried about the troubled rollout of the website, and he says it's a sign of problems to come. Joining us is Ira Stoll, editor of futureofcapitalism.com, author of the new book, JFK Conservative. His piece, The Obamacare Disaster Has Arrived, is linked on the Central Time Facebook page. Ira, welcome to the show.
Glad to be here.
So you have wider concerns about the Affordable Care Act, and we'll get into that, but I want to start with the website in the news this week. What do you make of the now well-known troubles with healthcare.gov?
Well, it's pretty astonishing, right? I mean, the government supposedly spent $634 million taxpayer dollars on this website, whereas the Obama campaign in 2012 spent about $11.3 million for what was widely hailed as a very successful technological effort that took in lots of campaign contributions and helped get people to the polls using Facebook and Twitter. It's a huge amount of money, and, you know, somehow people managed to buy homeowners insurance. We managed to buy auto insurance. We managed to compare cell phone plans or cable television plans, which Obama is often comparing health insurance to, without a $630 million government website to help us shop for those things.
And the president on Monday said he was upset, as the rest of us were, with the rollout of the website, but they're working to get things fixed and have it up and get people enrolled by the deadlines on December 15th, mainly. Do you share a sense of optimism that they could get it fixed by then?
I don't really know. I even if they get it fixed, they've lost a kind of... They failed the launch, you know, and it's going to take a lot of time to try to get all the people who looked at it or tried to look at it in the first place back to the site and to have them have the confidence to go on there and purchase health insurance, which, of course, if people fail to do that, if the healthy 20 and 30-year-olds don't buy health insurance, these exchanges are going to be left with the sickest and most expensive patients, and healthcare is going to end up being even more expensive, whereas this thing was originally set up to try to save people money and save the taxpayers money.
Now, you see, I think, the website as more of a symptom of a more fundamental problem with this approach to healthcare. Can you talk about what at the core you're worried about with the Affordable Care Act?
Well, it seems like a top-down, big government central planning approach, rather than letting individual companies or private associations or even state or local governments take the lead and experiment and see what works, see what doesn't work, let things go by trial and error. You have this one federal website, which in part because some states have chosen not to do their own websites, is bearing the whole burden of success for this program. And, you know, the same thing is happening with the benefits in these insurance plans. President Obama likes to talk about how birth control is going to be free. Well, what if you're not trying to have kids? What if you are trying to have kids? There's nothing about fertility treatments in Obamacare. What if you're so old that you don't need birth control, or what if you're not in a relationship where you need birth control? Another thing he talks about is mammograms. Well, what if your healthcare needs involve an MRI every year instead of a mammogram, which is kind of old technology anyway. The cutting edge technology is MRIs. So just like you have the federal government setting up this one big website that's supposed to help everybody shop for health insurance, you have the federal government in Washington basically deciding what's in everybody's health insurance plan. Whereas I think individuals or states or voluntary associations might do a better job of this if they were left to their own devices without so much strict regulation from Washington.
Well, the case made for especially the health care exchanges part of the Affordable Care Act is that there's a chunk of people out there who have no health care coverage or effectively none, and now they're going to have some, even if it's not perfect. Is that a good at least halfway goal or no?
Well, you know, some of these people may actually already qualify for Medicaid, which is the health care program for the poor. They just haven't signed up. Others may be illegal immigrants who don't qualify for Obamacare anyway. And others may be healthy 20 and 30-year-olds who, you know, if they come down with a serious medical problem, in some states may be able to sign up for health insurance if they need it, but otherwise they're just making a calculated decision that they don't think they're going to get sick or have health problems, and if they do, you know, they're gonna take that risk rather than pay money for health insurance that they don't particularly need.
We're talking to Ira Stoll. He's editor of futureofcapitalism.com, author of the new book, JFK Conservative. His piece is what we're talking about. It's The Obamacare Disaster Has Arrived. We have a link to that on the Central Time Facebook page.
And we want to hear from you on this one. Are the problems with the healthcare website a sign of deeper problems with the Affordable Care Act, do you think? Or do you see these as early stage wrinkles and that things will get better? You can call us at 1-800-642-1234. That's 1-800-642-1234 or post on the Central Time Facebook page.
You're listening to Central Time here on the Ideas Network. This is Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret.
And I'm Veronica Rickert. Coming up, we'll talk to the founder of the website Jezebel about their new encyclopedia of lady things.
First, we continue our conversation with Ira Stoll about the Affordable Care Act. He says this month's website problems are just part of what he calls an Obamacare disaster. You can join in at 800-642-1234 or send us an email, talk@WPR.org. We'll go right to the phones. We have Dan with us in Menominee. Dan, hi, you're on the air.
Hi, thanks very much. So I just have a couple of comments to point out. One is that problems with the website don't necessarily indicate a problem with the program itself. I mean, the website was subcontracted out, albeit at maybe too much of a cost, but it's not indicative of what the government is going to do. It's like saying, you know, the movie preview didn't load for this, so the movie is going to suck. It's a non sequitur. And second, the healthcare exchange kind of seems like a capitalist dream to me. I mean, I've always had health care either through my employer, and it's what they chose, or I've had to go to the state. And now it seems like with the exchange, I actually have options, and private companies can compete for my dollar. And isn't that the way capitalism is supposed to go? Thank you much.
Thanks, Dan. Let's tackle that second point first, Ira. There's more competition, at least for some people. They have more choices now, he says.
Well, you know, that would be good, except that in a lot of states, there's already one or two really dominant health insurance providers, and some insurers have stopped offering coverage in certain states. They've just pulled out of certain states because the benefits required under Obamacare are so great, and they have to issue insurance to everybody who wants it. So they are afraid they're not going to be able to make money under these conditions. So I think the danger is that rather than increasing competition, what you're going to see is there's going to just be a few very dominant big health insurance companies in America, the Blue Cross and Blue Shields, the Aetnas, who President Obama in a White House town hall on healthcare assured people that the Aetna stock price was going to do well under Obamacare, and those companies all have, you know, huge Washington lobbying operations, and you know they're not always very customer friendly. So, you know, the small insurance agents who might know the people in the community, and the your hometown doctor who, you know, used to have one office or maybe him and his partner, are going to be replaced by not just huge insurance companies, but, you know, huge groups of doctors which may have less personalized care, maybe a longer wait to see your doctor. You may end up seeing a nurse practitioner instead. So you're going to see a lot of consolidation in healthcare, in part because the federal government is such a big player. You need to have a lot of big clout to deal with that.
Wasn't that all kind of happening already? I mean, the personal family doctor hanging up their shingle was kind of a thing of the past a few years ago, wasn't it?
Well, actually, I think as recently as a couple of years ago, more than 50% of the doctors in America were in one or two doctor practices. So, you know, obviously it depends on the region. Some regions and there are certainly can be advantages to that for patients if they're in a multi-specialty group practice. They can get an easier referral to a specialist. But, you know, what we're seeing in states like Massachusetts, where Romney Care is kind of an early model for Obamacare, is there's a really long wait to get an initial appointment with a general internist, and a lot of them aren't even taking new patients.
We'll go back to the phones now. We have Juanita in Eau Claire. Juanita, hi, you're on the air.
Hi there. I just wanted to comment that I am a 29-year-old in good health, and I do feel that it is my responsibility to get health insurance. However, it's not provided by my job. I actually work for the state, but I only have a half-time position, so I do not have the option for it. I do not qualify for Badger Care, and there is a ridiculously long waiting list for Badger Care anyways. So I'm happy to go onto this website. I don't mind that there have been delays. Healthcare up until this point is much more of a disaster than a change could be. I just feel that there's potential for this to be a solution, and we could not continue going on the path that we were on.
Juanita, thanks for the call. So Ira, one evidently young, healthy person planning to sign up. Do you think that there will be a lot more like her?
Well, I don't know. It wasn't clear from what she said whether she actually succeeded in buying health insurance through this website. You know, I think what we've seen is a lot of people going on and shopping, and a lot fewer people actually buying the insurance. You know, she also didn't say whether she has health insurance now, or it wasn't clear to me. You know, if she doesn't have health insurance now, you know, what does she do for health care?
Oh, she's off the line, unfortunately. I wanted to ask, actually, before this half hour passes, there have been calls this week for Health Secretary Kathleen Sebelius to resign over the website issue in particular. Do you think she should? Should she take some of the responsibility for the website rollout?
You know, I'd like to see her try to fix it. You know, I think the responsibility in the end here is President Obama's, and you know, it's Obamacare, not Sebelius Care, and you know, I think if he can't turn this into a success, I think there's going to be a real political price to pay, both for the Democratic Party in the 2014 midterm elections and ultimately in the presidential election in 2016, provided the Republicans can offer some sort of alternative, you know, other than just saying, you know, we're against Obamacare.
We'll go back to the phones now. We have Ken in Kenosha. Ken, hi.
Hey, how you doing? I just had two comments, actually. One was what your guest spoke about 5 or 6 minutes ago, saying that, you know, well, mammograms are included, but, you know, MRIs aren't necessarily, and, you know, that decision should be made at some lower level than the federal government. All that really provides is a floor of minimum services that need to be provided. There is no law that says that you could not choose a health insurance plan offered by some private company on the exchange that does include MRIs for mammograms. That is, all they're doing is setting a bottom floor, and frankly, I was shocked at you know, how many existing policies don't meet that incredibly basic and you know, really rather low floor. And secondly, I in terms of this being Obamacare, it's not Obamacare, it's the ACA. And if everybody would remember that Obamacare was coined by Mitt Romney himself in 2007 in the run-up, to the 2008 election. So that is, a bit of shooting themselves in the foot, I would think. This is Obama's embraced it, but this is the ACA. This is a federal government thing. And one last thing.
Well, actually, we'll cut you off at two there because we're pretty short on time. So he's saying the first point he made, that mammogram requirement, it's a floor, it's a minimum. It's not saying you can't cover the MRIs you were talking about earlier, Ira.
Well, there's a penalty under Obamacare, this so-called Cadillac tax, where if you buy a more expensive plan that does cover things like MRIs, the government slaps, I think it's a 15% tax on it, as a way of discouraging people from having these better plans. So I think, in a way, this floor that you talk about, it ends up becoming a ceiling almost intentionally because of the attempt to do cost control. And that's not a lot of consolation to somebody who's stuck paying $4,000 or $5,000 out of their pocket for an MRI that their doctors says they need, but their insurance doesn't cover because some bureaucrat has said, we're only going to do mammograms.
In our last 30 seconds or so, Ira, Republicans in Congress had wanted a delay of the exchanges. Do you think that should have happened or should still happen, delay it for a year or more?
Well, even the White House spokesman, I think, said a day or two ago that we're not going to impose penalties on people for not buying something that it's impossible to buy because the website doesn't work. So, we'll see if they can get this working relatively rapidly. And if they don't, I think it's not just going to be the Republicans calling for a delay. It's going to be the Democrats who have already delayed the business mandate. Otherwise they'll be taxing people for failing to buy something that it's impossible to buy.
Ira, thanks for joining us today. That was Ira Stoll, editor of Future of Capitalism, author of JFK Conservative. We've got his piece on the Affordable Care Act linked on the Central Time Facebook page.
Coming up, we talk to the creator of the website, Jezebel. This is Central Time.